This is ARN, the Advanced Radio Network.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either. I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-561-6198. 800-561-6198. 800-561-6198. Again, that's 800-561-6198.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
A very happy Mother's Day weekend to all the moms out there. Don't forget your mom. We are broadcasting the weekend of May 10th, 2019 from the Dexcom G6 Studios. Know before you go high or low with customizable alerts and alarms on the G6 Continuous Glucose Monitoring System. Be sure to visit DEXCOM.com. I am Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline.
In the control room is Erasmo in New York City, working with the show each and every week, handling the posts and research and all the good stuff, is Horatio. We're delighted that you've tuned in. And again, a very special happy Mom's Day to all the moms. Mine isn't on the earth anymore, so hopefully looking down from heaven, enjoying a happy Mother's Day weekend.
And happy Mother's Day to some of the single dads that also our mom.
That's true. Although they have their day, we as dads have our day coming up next month. But yeah, those that have been both mom and dad. So happy Mom's / Dad's Day early.
Yeah.
To them. Right. So Facebook has a new mantra, of course. Are you ready? The future is private. To which I say, right.
Well, then the future must not be on Facebook.
Yes, exactly. I remember how you were talking in a tech news story, I believe, last week about how there'll be more dead people on Facebook in the next few years than alive people. And yeah, that's scary in and of itself when you think about those kinds of things. But they're saying the future is private, and it's their new mantra. Last month at their F8 conference, Zuckerberg said that Facebook would refocus the entire company around privacy. Again, sure. He said the infrastructure for all of Facebook's services, including Instagram, WhatsApp, and Messenger, would be more technically integrated and prioritize end-to-end encryption. That doesn't mean they can't see it. They said, but it makes user messages unreadable to other parties, as well as other privacy features that they plan to add. Because it's all about privacy, because Facebook is so concerned about our privacy.
Yeah, and instead of referring to the F8 conference, they always just call it the Fate Conference. Because
Fate.
It's very fateful.
You know? Yeah. Or the Fake Conference, yeah, because whatever he spews generally doesn't come out right anyway.
Uh-huh.
So good luck with that there, okay, Zuckerberg? Yeah. Have some fun. Yeah.
So even if Game of Thrones isn't your thing, chances are you've likely seen the show being roasted on social media over a disposable coffee cup that appeared in a scene during last weekend's episode.
Yes, and you're going to the tech angle, I'm sure, is going to be that they could have, with interesting technology, erased it from the scene.
They have now.
I know.
HBO has confirmed that this week that the scene has now been digitally altered and the cup has been removed.
Yeah. So if you want to see last week's episode, go for it if you have HBO or the app or whatever else. But they did announce that you will not see it again unless you happen to have recorded the original. And then it's still there.
And the morning after the show aired, Starbucks, which many online suspected was responsible for the cup, seized the opportunity to plug their new drink. In a tweet, Starbucks said, "To be honest, we're surprised she didn't order a dragon drink."
Yeah, apparently because this is the Dragon Queen, yeah, for those who follow that thing.
Yeah. After being pressed for a response, HBO also addressed the matter in a statement that same day, saying the latte that appeared in the episode was a mistake. Daenerys had ordered an herbal tea.
So yes.
It was estimated that between social media posts and word of mouth that Starbucks received an estimated $2.3 billion in free advertising. And as it turns out, it wasn't even a Starbucks cup.
I was going to say, it didn't even look like a Starbucks cup.
It was a generic craft services cup. But because Starbucks apparently is the most well-known, everybody was calling it a Starbucks cup.
Yeah.
And all the word of mouth that they got apparently was worth like $2.3 billion in advertising.
Unbelievable. And a lot of discussion centered around things like, well, maybe HBO did it on purpose to see if anyone would notice and get more publicity, because there's only like two episodes left for the, I think, 8-year series. And why do they need to do that? It's supposedly the most watched television show of anything else on these days, those that are really into it.
Not by me.
Yeah, I know. Not by me either.
I'm one of those people. I have not seen one episode and very proud of it.
Well, I've seen a couple of the first two episodes from 7-8 years ago and was like, okay. But it was already getting a little more complicated than I cared. And the person I was watching it with was like so into it because they'd seen all of them and trying to explain things to me. And in the future, you're going to see. I said, well, then fine. I'm caught up. Let's just watch the last six because that's it. And I watched that episode, which everyone else who was really into it said was a very boring episode. So the coffee cup, the modern coffee or tea cup, was the most exciting thing to happen in that episode. And that's a shame because hundreds of people were available, should have seen it. And that was part of the discussion as well, that, you know, you've got set designers and camera people and editors and directors and costume people, and let alone the actors and actresses. Nobody saw it. And it was quite prominent in the scene.
Yeah, well, you know, in all these television and movie sets, they have, you know, a group of people that are, their entire job is continuity.
Yeah.
So they look and make sure that things match from scene to scene, and they should have been the first to see this coffee cup.
No continuity there.
No.
And I figured, well, they can't fire them because they're all fired anyway now. It's the end of the series, not just the season. It's over. And by the time this aired, they'd already long ago finished the whole 6 final episodes, and the next two. Those who are really into Game of Thrones have been saying they better be spectacular because this last week was boring and they wanted to see a whole bunch of death and mayhem and wonderful, whatever.
Well, once the show has finished its run, then everybody can get their lives back.
I don't know about that.
I've even got some friends that basically have told me, okay, don't bother me between 9 and like 10:30 on Sunday nights ever. I'm like, really?
Wow.
That's usually when I send the most text messages.
Okay,
just
good.
Because I was told not to.
Especially to those people.
Yes.
Yeah. And spoiler alerts, they try to spoil it anyway.
Yeah.
Yep. But I did see that she had 3 dragons. One was apparently killed a long time ago, and the other one was killed last episode. That was probably the most excitement. Oh, and the Peter Dinklage character looked like he was out a goner. Nope, then he washed up on the beach. So it's like, you know, it's like I don't really care to catch up over 7 years, but I'm sort of watching the last couple because a bunch of friends have talked about it, and I'm thinking, whatever, okay, yeah. And then, no, don't stop it. Don't pause again and explain to me. Just let it go. Well, if I really care, I'll ask.
I had to turn to Google a couple weeks ago just to see what everybody think meant by winter is coming. I had no idea. And
yeah.
Apparently, I guess in this realm, the seasons can last a lifetime or something.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Something like that.
You're stuck in a perpetual winter.
Yes. And, of course, for us here in Miami, winter is coming means nothing to us.
Yeah, it means it gets to 70 degrees instead of 90.
Yes. So that added to the confusion, I guess, but that happens.
So it would appear that the sex toy that was given an innovation award at this year's CES, only to have it revoked by CTA, the organizers of the show, has had the award returned.
Wait a minute. Gary Shapiro, the president and CEO of the Consumer Technology Association, made a mistake?
Yeah. Well, the CTA says that it, quote, did not handle this award properly.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Yeah. Leading to some important conversations about the show's policies around sex tech. Apparently, some changes will be implemented to make the conference more inclusive in the future. Gene Foster, CTA's marketing chief, said that those changes will be designed to clear up inconsistencies in CTA's policies around sex tech.
Oh, God. Yes, because we talked about it, because we were there, and they had displayed in their innovation awards this particular sex toy let me just say it vibrates, okay?
Yeah.
And as one of the Innovation Award winners.
Well, it was called a personal massager.
It vibrates. Yeah. It's a personal massager, right. For your neck, I think.
Yeah. You can tell by the shape. It's for the neck.
Correct. Right. But they awarded it as one of the outstanding.
I think it got in the robotics category because apparently they don't have a health category.
Robotics category, right. And then they took it away because they said, no, wait a minute, that's a sex toy. We shouldn't be giving it an award. And then I don't know whether they probably were threatened with a lawsuit. I'm guessing.
Maybe. You know, and they haven't.
Shapiro went, oh, my God, what am I going to do? You know, he's not long for this world anyway in that position, I hear. So he probably said, give it back. Give the award back. And people caught wind of it. And it's like, well, make up your mind.
That's good. He'll just write another book.
Yeah. The Ninja Sex Toy Award book.
Yeah, but, you know, and they haven't mentioned what the changes to the show will be, just that we can expect to hear about these changes in the coming months as we get closer to CES 2020.
Well, the whole Innovation Award nonsense anyway, you know, pay a fee and you get an honoree award. Well, great. You know, we never did that. For years we did Dave's Top 10 at CES, never charged anyone a nickel. But CTA, pay the fee and, look, ta-da, you get an award. And then apparently they do have some judging, allegedly objective judging, in other categories to come up with the best of those categories. But, you know, if you're going to fake nonsense like that, then don't give an award, take it back and give it back again. It's make up your mind. Just do it or don't do it. Allow those things to be at the show or don't. Universally, period. Enough. Used to be down below in the dungeon in the basement of the Sands was the adult show, allegedly having nothing to do with CES, but always for many, many years took place at the same time.
And
we lost more staff to, I took a wrong turn and ended up in the adult show.
Yeah, of course, because that show would recognize the CES credentials and allow you to use them.
Oh, yeah. If you have CES press credentials, come on in. You know, we had to just go for the sake of curiosity and a couple of times and see what was there. But they awarded all kinds of things. Well, fine, that was their thing. But CES has always, I thought, said no sex-related things. It's just not our audience or not what we're after. And then they go and award one and snatch it back. Oh, gosh. Well, that's kind of interesting. Yeah. I bet they were threatened with a lawsuit. It's like, how dare you? And then, you know, Shapiro just said, for crying out loud, just give it to him.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Kent in Chandler, Texas, listens on 97.5 FM KTBB. Hello, Kent.
For years, I have been a Windows guy. I've avoided Mac or anything from Apple. But I've lately heard that Mac computers are pretty well invulnerable to Trojans and other cyber attacks. Is this true? I'm looking at a new job that would require me to use both, and I haven't been on a Mac since 15 years ago.
Wow. Well, Kent, I gotta tell you, nothing is anything proof, but Macs do better against most malware. That I can tell you, and that's coming from not an Apple hater, but not an Apple promoter by any means, and a Windows guy all of my life as well, and of course Android, as we've discussed. It's my days as a former police officer, people would talk about, I want to burglar-proof my house. No such thing. It's like waterproof. Well, everything's not really waterproof. It's resistant, or you try to be burglar resistant. You try to be malware resistant with a computer. And, you know, it's like escape proof. Well, they said that about various prisons that people did escape from.
Just take my childhood. Anytime my parents would buy anything that was break proof, I sure put that to the test.
Exactly. Chris would break anything and everything that he ever got to. But initially, the general excuse was that their market share was just so much smaller that no one bothered with them. But as their market share has grown, reports of infections have not grown that much. They do have a solid permissions system, and the operating system does try to keep potential sources of infections somewhat under watch. They do a admittedly a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, of course. But the thing is, who has problems with malware anymore? Yeah. It seems that scams are the bigger problem these days more than malicious software. Macs are easy enough to use, so it won't take you very long to get up to speed, even if you haven't used one in 15 years. But don't be afraid of either. They're both nothing more than adequate tools for the few things that a smartphone can't do well these days.
Yeah, because your smartphone can do pretty much all the computing you need, certainly a tablet. But a lot of folks, and I still use a desktop and a laptop in addition, and tablets and smartphones, because they're available to us, you use them for most appropriate needs. But I can absolutely see why Kent is curious about that. And you know what, Kent? Talk to your friends that use Macs. And, of course, most of them are going to tell you, like Erasmo right away, you know, he's in the control room, thumbs up, pointing to his Mac. He would obviously recommend a Mac. And most of your friends who use them, I'm sure, would recommend them. But ask them to be open and honest with you and really objective, and say, okay, ask them, what do you not like about it? And if they're going to be fair, they're going to share a couple things with you. Well, this could be better, or that would be, you know, more interesting or more helpful, whatever the case. But at least you're going to get more input. You already know what Windows can do for you, and you're apparently okay with it, but you are considering the Mac, so go for it. But at least do a little more digging, because I'd hate for you to change operating systems. And, of course, find out if the software that you currently use on your Windows machine is also available for Mac. That used to also be a major issue. It's like, oh, well, you can't get that and that and that. That's changed dramatically. Almost everything is available business-wise or otherwise. But just make sure.
Yeah, and you know, obviously you've been using PC all this time, so you're familiar with those. But go into an Apple store or a Best Buy where they have Mac set up and just play around with one. Go through the operating system. See if you can still navigate through it without an issue. And you know, you may see that it's not as hard as you thought.
Yeah, and it is easy. I've accidentally not been caught on camera using one or two once in a while over the years. But anyway, anybody that comes and brings their cell phone camera up, I just back off. No proof of me using a Mac. I was just doodling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kent, let us know what you end up with, and hopefully it'll be a help to other listeners as well. And if you've got some input for Kent or any of our listeners, do call this number anytime, day or night.
800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686.
Meantime, we'll meet you and everybody. Hey, let's all get together at intotomorrow.com.
OWC, your source for connectivity, offers a wide variety of USB-C and Thunderbolt 3 docks to help you connect to your world. Ranging from travel docks with HDMI, USB 3, SD ports, and USB-C power pass-through while on the road, to desktop docks providing power to charge your laptop, and 14 ports to connect your monitors, external drives, headphones, wired Ethernet, and other devices using a single cable. See all the OWC products at owc.com/into.
Translating tech to English on this Mother's Day weekend. You're tuned into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by OWC, your source for connecting your laptop to the world. Special Into Tomorrow products and pricing at owc.com/into. That's owc.com/into.
Now, Into Tomorrow's favorite app of the week. Favorite app?
Oh, I don't know. Do you have a favorite app? What would it be this week?
I have one.
Okay.
Do you have one?
Of course.
Well, my favorite app this week is called Wi-Fi Sweet Spots.
Really?
Yes. Well, I recently...
Is it Wi-Fi and candy stores?
No.
Oh.
It's an app actually that helps you find the Wi-Fi sweet spot in your home.
Oh.
I recently, because I had an issue, I live in a two-story townhouse, so I had really poor coverage upstairs in the house because my modem was downstairs. So I got one of those Wi-Fi repeaters, but I needed to find out where the strongest weak signal was upstairs.
The strongest weak signal.
So I used this app. You go and you hit the start button, and it just gives you a meter of your megabit
like
per second.
Like a Geiger counter or something?
Like, and you walk around the house, and you find where it shows the strongest signal. And then you can hit a mark button to mark that area you're in so that you remember where, in which room and what area that... strong signal was.
And then what do you do about it?
And if you get something like these repeaters, that's where I put the repeater upstairs because it has to, as like a booster, it has to get the strongest signal it can. So I put it in the spot where this told me it had the strongest signal upstairs, and it was able to then repeat it, so I now have a stronger signal everywhere upstairs.
Well, that's clever. So it actually came in very handy.
It did.
No wonder it was a favorite app, but not one that you use regularly because you solved that crisis. But it did its job, and then you've used it, though, since. You put the repeater, right? And it shows strong everywhere.
And I've kept it on my phone, because if I have an issue where I'm trying to watch TV and like the stream keeps buffering, I'll pull the app out just to see the Wi-Fi signal strength at that time where I'm at. Maybe it's dropped off. Maybe there's an issue with the modem.
Well, there you go.
Into tomorrow's favorite app of the week. What's your favorite app? Tell us about your favorite app. Just use the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app to participate. Just search these two words, Into Tomorrow, in your favorite app store.
Sure.
Tap our app
or,
and get your Into Tomorrow to go.
Or you could call us with what your favorite app of the week is.
800-899-INTO. It's 800-899-4686.
Because everybody has one. Like, you had that one, and it really came in handy. Somebody else might have a favorite game app or a favorite app that helps them be more productive at home or at work. Or just a favorite time waster, which are usually the apps that you come up with.
You know, and a little hint, we're about to kick off this summer giveaway, and if you call in with your app and it makes it to air, then you're qualified.
That's true. We love our listeners so much, we're starting summer a month early. Stay tuned for more details on Into Tomorrow.
What if people with type 1 diabetes had the power to manage their condition without finger sticks? To always know their glucose levels and where they're heading with just a glance at their smart device? To customize alerts and alarms to help keep them in range? All this knowledge powered by a small wearable. Introducing the Dexcom G6. Make knowledge your superpower. For a list of compatible smart devices, visit dexcom.com/compatibility. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G6 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions.
We're thrilled that you've tuned into Tomorrow on this Mom's Day weekend. You know, it took 38 years for radio to reach 50 million viewers, right? Or listeners, I guess I should say, users. But it took the World Wide Web only 4 years to reach 50 million users. That's the world we live in today as we bring you further into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by HughesNet, high-speed satellite internet available wherever you live or work. Text the word radio to 35,000 for more info. Again, text the word radio to 35,000.
True Caller's fifth annual study on the impact of phone scams and spam in the U.S. was recently released. I found some interesting stats in there to share with you. The number of men falling victim to a phone scam was 62% higher than women. Now, what does that say about us?
That I guess most guys are lonelier and will just answer any phone call that comes in.
Okay, you can go there. I was going to say that women are smarter than us to not fall for the scams. But despite growing up with technology, millennials are more vulnerable than older generations, which I found that to be surprising. I thought the older folks would have more difficulty with dealing with a scam or a potential problem or something. But no, millennials are apparently a little more gullible. And parents are far more likely to be scammed versus non-parents. Again, you would think as a parent, you got enough to worry about that. Oh, forget you. It's a scam. Click it, whatever. But nope. Parents are even more vulnerable than non-parents. Overall, there's been a 70% annual rise in number of Americans falling victim to phone scams. 70%. Yikes. The total loss across America reached an all-time high of $10.5 billion, up $1 billion from last year. $1 billion. These idiots need to be hung. Most popular scams are about great deals with calls to say, you've won something, or there's a problem with your account, following close behind. And that, unfortunately, has more and more people dealing with, oh my gosh, you know, whether it's clicking on a spam email that then puts malware onto your computer and causes all kind of problems, or answering a phone call. This is Microsoft, and we've discovered there's a problem with your connection and your computer, and you got to work with me, and I'll help you. Click. Don't even say anything. Click. Hang up. Or push the button if you don't click.
Well, and of course, the FCC right now is warning against the One Ring scam, which apparently has been coming back to light.
Yeah.
You know, where you get a call or a series of calls from the same number with just one ring and they hang up. And they would expect that after these series of calls that somebody might pick up the phone and call them back.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they try to keep you on the phone. And they say that scam is because when you call it back, it's sort of like when you call a 900 number.
Yeah, so or 976. Yeah. We used to have those numbers you can call for weather or date lines or any number of kind of things. But you'd pay a fee.
Yeah.
And they're doing that with what you don't realize is a toll number. And it goes right on your bill, and then your phone company says, you called it. You pay it.
But, One Ring calls reminds me of, a conversation we were having with somebody recently about, when I was a kid, and there was still this thing called long distance. And, I lived
to pay tolls.
Yeah, I lived just a single county over from you. But, when we wanted to talk to each other, it was considered long distance. We lived, 3 miles apart or something.
Mm-hmm.
But so, you would call and let it ring once, and I would know to call you back. Or I would call you and let it ring once and hang up, and you would know call me back. And that was how we communicated.
Yeah, but we knew the number.
Right.
And you'd say, oh, that's Dad. I'll call him right back.
This was even before we had caller ID, but at least we would know that One Ring. Okay. Oh, yeah. One ring, that must be Dad.
Now, not that I was ever that cheap, but the fact is you'd have to play the game.
It wasn't cheap. It was, the way to work around it.
It's like Meghan Markle and the Prince, the other day, this past week. They had to call the Queen collect. And who's it from? She had a baby. It's a boy. Didn't they do that?
I think they did that.
No. Yeah, to save money, because, they were in Sussex and the Queen was in London or something,
Just shoot her a text. It's free.
Yeah. Does the Queen text herself? I don't think so.
I think the Pope's on Twitter, so if the Pope's on Twitter,
yeah,
the Queen can text.
He doesn't tweet himself either. They have people for that.
The last Pope, I think, sent at least one tweet himself. I saw a video of it.
Yeah, the last one. I think the tweet was, I quit.
Maybe.
I believe that was the only tweet. The only tweet. Careful. Oh, lightning.
You're gonna be burning.
Lightning's going to strike. I really meant tweet, honestly. I just said the name of that other show. Accidentally, that's what it is. But I meant tweet. Oh, gosh.
So Uber is expected to go public in an offering that could value the 10-year-old startup at $80 or $90 billion.
Oh, my gosh.
Yet, in the decades since it started, the ride-sharing platform has not turned a profit. And the company admits in its IPO filings that profits may never happen at the end of the road for Main Street investors.
And yet they're giving their top execs like $150 million in salary. No wonder it doesn't turn a profit.
Uh-huh. No, it's not unheard of for tech companies to lose money as they mature. It took Amazon years to make money.
True.
But it is unusual for a company of Uber's scale to still be losing so much money, according to experts. Uber's IPO filing reports more than $3 billion in losses for 2018.
Wow.
Now, that same year, Uber riders took 5.2 billion trips, losing the company an average of 58 cents per ride.
Really?
Yeah.
So you'd think they'd just increase everything 60 cents or a buck.
Well, and of course, they've got their drivers along with Lyft drivers picketing and saying that we're tired of these low wages, so they're going to probably lose even more money.
And I don't blame them.
I know.
I mean, the drivers used to get much more money, and now they're trying to have to pick up and do more rides, and they're getting considerably less money. Well, how is that a good business plan when your whole business is based on drivers being able to pick people up?
Yeah, I saw a news interview with one Uber driver that says that she drives full time and has for years. And she said that she used to be able to make $70,000 a year just driving for Uber, and now she says she's doing more rides and if she's lucky, she'll make 40.
Oh, wow. Yeah, what's wrong with that picture? Other than their top management is making a killing, and I bet they don't pick anybody up.
Probably not.
Not even their own family. I'll send a car for you. We're losing money, so it doesn't matter. I'll send a car.
I think it should be a requirement. To be an executive Uber, you have to also be an Uber driver.
Good luck. Even the CEO that's making $45 million.
Yeah, but he never uses Uber.
No. And he doesn't pick anybody up either.
Yeah.
I'm sure he has a car service for that. Oh, boy. Well, they really need to get the big picture.
Uh-huh.
Lego announced the new STEM kit called Lego Star Wars Boost Droid Commander. Whew. Got to take a big breath before you say that. I know. It's set on Star Wars Day, which was, of course, presumably May the 4th.
be with you.
Thank you. The kit can be used to build R2-D2, Gonk, and the mouse droid, and then even command them on some 40 missions. So that's different and kind of cool. So maybe you can be the first on your block to have the new LEGO STEM kit, once again called LEGO Star Wars Boost Droid Commander. I'm sure stores are going to love having to advertise that. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're taking up half our coupon page to be able to just say the name of the thing. They'll just call it the LEGO STEM kit, probably.
Probably.
Yeah. It's all about science and technology and engineering and math. Well, see, there you go. Taking up even more space.
San Francisco officials voted Tuesday to require brick-and-mortar retailers to take cash as payment, joining Philadelphia and New Jersey in banning a growing paperless practice that critics say discriminates against low-income people who may not have access to credit cards.
Well, either that or just even people like me. I'm not high-income, but I'm not low-income either. The fact I'm in radio, so I'm virtually no income. But the fact is that I have had to ask people lately, do you still take cash? I mean, that's sad. Because our U.S. money says good for all legal tender. But people go, wait, cash? I mean, hey, do we still take cash? They're so not used to taking cash.
Well, and this is in contrast to a report I saw this last weekend on CBS where they were doing a report on Sweden. And most of Sweden has moved to a cashless economy. I mean,
wow.
A lot of the public transit will only take cards. Stores, even their several of their iconic IKEA stores will not accept any form of cash.
Well, that's sad. Even their own country's cash. I get if they don't want to accept anybody else's.
They're apparently, I guess, doing an experiment to try to see if they can eventually move the entire country to a cashless economy.
Wow. I mean, I can see where that can come in handy, but yeah, it affects too many people. Because if I've got it in my wallet, I'm going to use the cash. Especially if I'm just grabbing a burger or something or what have you, or small item or a few things. Then why put everything on your credit cards all the time, or even the debit card? Then I forget to deduct it, and then it's like, why is my balance so far off? And
there's apps for that. I think you're the only one left in the world that still balances your checking account.
I actually haven't in years.
The rest of us just open our app and say, okay.
Yeah, well, but a lot of you especially, before you go to buy something, you go, I'm going to McDonald's. Wait a minute. Before I get in the drive-through line, how much do I have in my account? See, I don't ever want to do that. If I need a cheeseburger and a fry and a iced tea, I just want to get it. I don't want to have to go check somewhere that I have, you know, $4 in my account.
I don't have to. I'm not quite that bad, but and it's not that I have to see
if I have the money.
It's I have to see which account I have the money in because I move my money around.
So many accounts. Yeah.
It's just because it keeps it cleaner that way if you keep moving it around.
You know? Yeah, you have to see if you have to cash in the CD to be able to drive through Wendy's.
Yeah,
and by that I don't mean compact disc.
Yeah,
all right. What do you think? 800-899-INTO. Do join us, especially because the big summer giveaway is about to start. Stay tuned for details right here on Into Tomorrow.
Attention. Do you have chronic back pain, knee pain, or arthritis? If you have Medicare or private insurance like Aetna, UnitedHealthcare, Humana, or Blue Cross, you may qualify for a safe, drug-free remedy for your everyday back and knee pain, but you must call now. You may be eligible for a pain-relieving back or knee brace at little or no cost to you. These pain relief braces are ideal for back pain, arthritis, sciatica, leg pain, knee pain, and other painful conditions that make life difficult. Our associates will work directly with Medicare or your insurance company for free. Your knee or back brace will be delivered directly to your door. Imagine playing with your grandkids or enjoying tennis or golf again. Call the National Knee and Back Brace Center to qualify for your Medicare or insurance-covered knee or back brace.
Call 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179.
The first burglar alarms go online. Edison shows off his new electric railway, and the U.S. launches its first space station. Cool. What does all that mean? Well, those were all things that happened this week in tech history. So stay tuned in a minute or two, and Chris will tell you all about them, won't you?
I will. But first, I'll tell you that this portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by StreamGuys.com, providing the audio streaming for all 3 hours of Into Tomorrow at our website at IntoTomorrow.com.
And as promised,
jump aboard the time machine.
You got mail.
Time to head into yesterday with This Week in Tech History.
History. You were telling someone the other day here in our studios about how TWiT came about, how This Week in Tech History came about, that it was an accident. Like 100 years ago.
It was supposed to be a one-time thing.
Yeah.
But it was too darn popular.
Yeah.
Because, you know, back, you know, years ago, in sort of like an older format of our show, we would do tech news in an entire first hour and then have topics. But around holidays, we would just have the staff sit in here. We wouldn't make guests come in. We would all sort of toss around some tech news. We would do some tech trivia. And
yeah.
I thought on one of those shows, hey, you know, it might be fun to see what happened this week in tech history.
And people said, that was awesome. Yeah, I had no idea, or I didn't remember it was that long ago, or how many years ago was that? Stuff like that. And then you thought, well, gosh, I guess we have to do it every week now. And you did.
And looking back at my folders of scripts, I want to say it was like 2007 or 2006 that we started doing these. So I've been doing this now for, what, 13, 14, I don't know, it seems like 28 years.
What's cool to me is when we're literally traveling the world at trade shows and Chris has his press credential on, people come up to him and they point to his credential or him and they go, history. And it warms the cockles of his heart.
And I just said, oh, please, no autographs.
Yeah. I end up having to be his bodyguard. And Dave's with you, too. But so Chris, tell me about And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm only the host.
Yeah.
But that's kind of fun because
what's it like being the tech history guy's dad?
Yeah, there's that. Gosh. Anyway, what you got for us happened this week that I teased.
This week in 1877, Edwin Holmes of Boston, Massachusetts, set up the first network of burglar alarms that were monitored by a central station in New York City. He then sent his son to copy that system in Boston. His son realized that they could use existing phone cables to carry the signals instead of having to lay their own. This allowed the network to quickly grow to more than 700 burglar alarms, a system that gave rise to the $28 billion industry that we have today. In 1880 this week, at his Menlo Park lab, Thomas Edison ran his first test of the electric railway. His locomotive pulled three train cars down a track about a third of a mile long. Electric current was generated by two motors in Edison's machine shop and transmitted by underground cable to the rails, which powered the 12-horsepower motor on the locomotive.
Was that the HO scale? Or, I don't know what. Or were they big locomotives?
I think they're big locomotives.
Oh.
But today, nearly 140 years after Edison's first test, electric railways are still in use all over the world. In 1928 this week, experimental television station W2XB in Schenectady, New York, popularly known as WGY-TV after its sister radio station, began the first regular schedule of TV programs. It was a very short schedule, though. WGY offered programming to the upstate New York audience three times a week for 30 minutes a day, using the mechanical scanning method. And mechanical scanning wasn't to be the wave of the future. It was the electrical scanning developed by Philo Farnsworth that would make television available to the masses.
So WGY-TV originally only aired for a half an hour three times a week?
Yes, because they were experimenting with this new format of TV and broadcasting TV. So it was considered the first network regularly scheduled TV programs. 3 days a week, 30 minutes a day.
Gee.
And this week in 1973, Skylab was launched by NASA from Kennedy Space Center. Skylab was the first space station launched by the United States and the only one to be exclusively operated by the U.S. Skylab included a workshop, a solar observatory, and other systems necessary for crew survival and scientific experiments. Skylab's re-entry in 1979 was an international media phenomenon, with souvenirs for sale that included a bottle of Skylab repellent that came with a money-back guarantee if you were hit by a piece of the falling debris.
That's fine. And people were buying it up, of course, as a fun souvenir, but then some people were spraying it on, just they didn't want to be hit by anything.
Yeah. The parts of Skylab that didn't burn up on re-entry landed in mostly unpopulated areas of Western Australia. One county in Australia fined NASA $400 for littering, which went unpaid until 2009, when it was paid on behalf of NASA with funds that were raised by a morning radio show.
Radio to the rescue.
Yes.
Love it.
That's our look back at This Week in Tech History, brought to you by IFA in Berlin, the global innovation show since 1924 for consumer tech and home appliances, and by IFA Next, the launchpad for innovations. Get more info at ifa-berlin.com.
And mark your calendars, we'll be there in Berlin again for our 17th year broadcasting from IFA.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-910-9962. 800-910-9962. 800-910-9962. 800-910-9962.
Once again, a very happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there on this Mother's Day weekend. Echo Bay was almost the name of eBay, but the domain name EchoBay.com was already registered by a mining company. So the founder, Pierre Omidyar, simply shortened the Echo Bay term to eBay, even though a lot of people say, yeah, eBay, it's, you know, electronic bay. Nope, that's not at all what it was. It was Echo Bay. And you would think, well, eBay, a place to sell stuff, that doesn't kind of make any sense. Well, we just know now that's what it is. And you just know eBay. I joke with people all the time when they say, oh, I'll be back in a minute. Can you keep an eye on whatever, you know, my laptop? Sure, I'll have it sold on eBay before you get back. Ha ha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway.
This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by the Dexcom G6 Continuous Glucose Monitoring System. Make knowledge your superpower for managing type 1 diabetes. Visit Dexcom.com. That's DEXCOM.com.
You know, we always prefer to hear you on the show whenever possible. So if you can, call us at 800-899-INTO. But we do address the occasional email, like James in Durham, North Carolina, says he listens on News Radio 680 WPTF, sent the following note.
He says, have you heard any recent news about when and if Blink will go forward with their video doorbell plans and begin marketing the doorbell?
Well, James, all we know for sure is that the project isn't officially dead. Having said that, there's also reason to believe that it will never quite be released as expected. And what a shame, because there's a whole lot more to doorbell cameras than Ring, just so everybody knows that. Don't think you have to go spend the extra money with that company if you don't want to. Blink, for example, makes cameras that run on battery. They are generally well-regarded, and they seem to work perfectly well. They can also be remotely accessed, and that works perfectly well also. That seems like 90% of that work of building and a smart doorbell, that they've already accomplished that. So I don't know why the delay.
Yeah, however, there is one big, big thing that's playing against this project. Blink is owned by Amazon.
Oh.
Ring is also owned by Amazon.
Aha.
And Ring is already the best-known smart doorbell product out there. Amazon may very well choose to just integrate the Blink technology into Ring and sell it for more money than to make it a $99 competitor to their own more expensive product and risk dragging the cost of their own Ring devices down.
Well, see, that explains it. I think that's really where James was headed and curious about, because I didn't realize that Blink was also owned by Amazon. Of course they're not going to let it come out.
You can think 90% of the things today are either owned by Amazon or Google.
Yeah, true. Or Apple.
Yeah.
They've been buying up a dozen companies in the last month or so, too. James, I hope we helped you out there, but there's still a whole lot more competitors to Ring and Blink and everything else. Check it out. IntoTomorrow.com for more.